member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mrs. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the BC. It is Saturday, the 11th of July, Anno Domini 2015. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news first.
There you go.
We should acknowledge that...
I had you down too low.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Really? Me too low?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Swing low.
Sweet chariot. See, I still don't have my voice back from my cold.
Well, wait. No, but wait a minute. It still sounds a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
Than 2 weeks ago.
Dave.
When you called me that Friday night.
Dave.
I thought it was an obscene phone call.
Yeah. It was.
It was for me. It must have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I can do the show.
And I go, really? You think
I'm rising from the grave.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
Of course, I did the stupid thing of on there texting you. What was it? Like 11 o'clock?
Yeah.
Are you up?
Yeah, am I up?
I'm thinking, wait a minute, it's Nick!
Yeah. Normally, though, but I slept most of last week. I mean, I was just dog sick.
Oh, yeah,
I slept
you were
most
a hurting
of the week.
Puppy,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, I should acknowledge the fact, however, this is the first time in, what, a month that we've all been here together.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice.
I want to thank Jerry Seward again two weeks ago.
You guys were great.
Well, it was nervous. You know, that's the first time in 25 years... that I haven't had one of you two here.
Yeah, it's true.
It's never happened before.
That's true.
It's always either, you know,
one of the
two out of the three are usually always here.
Yep.
That's the first time. It's like...
No, I had that once, too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, Michael was doing the board, and Dennis Worcester was in... I don't remember where you guys were, but...
Yeah, but you hit... Okay,
Yeah.
That's... Makes for interesting radio.
Well, you know, we've been doing this for 25 years,
yeah.
So suddenly somebody else sitting in either of those seats makes it, any of these seats makes it a little difficult. All right, to the news. Thousands of Apple MacBook owners are campaigning for action over some reported issues with the laptop's Retina screen. They are reporting horrific stains, quote unquote, horrific stains spreading across screens in the form of spots and patches. Fai Chong, a software engineer, said he had had to replace his screen twice in the last 2 years. He said he'd been told Apple would not carry out further screen repairs. The firm said that users should make contact with Apple's support center. One MacBook repair specialist indicated that this was not a common problem. And I suspect that's true. But users who have been affected are concerned that they will face expensive service fees once their warranties and/or extended Apple Care protection plans expire. My last screen replacement had its anti-reflective coating start peeling off within a month, said Fai Chong. I'm worried it will start peeling again after my Apple Care has expired. A website called StainGate has been set up by a... Well, it's gate everything, isn't it? It has been set up by a group unhappy with Apple's response. Some of them say they've been told they will have to pay $800 for repair work, according to the StainGate website, a Facebook group formed by people experiencing problems with their MacBook screen, says 1,752 members, and StainGate claims more than 2,500 people have made contact with it so far. Legal firm Whitfield, Bryson, and Mason have made contact with the Facebook group offering to investigate. The group has also set up a petition on the change.org website, which asks Apple chief executive Tim Cook to take immediate action to address the issue. Some people say problems with the screen can start appearing within a few months of purchasing the laptops. While many people on the Facebook page are reporting that Apple stores around the world, including Berlin, Hong Kong, New Jersey, and New Zealand, are agreeing to carry out free screen repairs outside of warranty period, others said they had been told it was a cosmetic damage, which is not usually covered. Apple has not confirmed whether there is an issue with the screens or what might cause the damage. Its 2013 model seems to be the worst affected, but there are online forums discussing the problems dating back to 2009. Customers who experience problems with their Apple products should contact Apple Care, a spokes robot said. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is MacBooks experiencing Staingate. And your choices are, it happened to me, now I'm worried. Nope, I'm clean, and Mac what now? So far we have 29 votes, and of course the vast majority of you couldn't care less about any Macintosh thing at all. But if you have anything you'd like to say about this, of course, check the forum, slide down the rightmost column, and you'll see fascinating stuff. The first link there is the forums, and the second forum is the poll discussion, and the first item is 11 July 15, MacBooks experiencing Staingate. And of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-CHAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
And if this does turn out to be a manufacturing defect or an OEM defect, Apple will likely issue a repair extension to cover it anyway.
Yep.
Just like we announced a couple of weeks ago, the 27-inch iMac with a 3-terabyte hard drive, there's a problem with some of the 3-terabyte drives, and they're fixing it even out of warranty. So keep your ear to the trade press and listen to us.
Yeah,
and
well, third-party, this is the thing that makes me a little crazy, which is that it's instantaneous now. Everybody assumes it's an instantaneous response from somebody like Apple. Well, if they've heard about it at approximately the same time you did, they've got to spend a little time figuring out if, A, this is a real problem, B, this is their problem, and C, how to deal with it if it is.
And,
You know? And yes.
And how widespread is it? I mean, it's just like the hard drives and everything else.
Right.
Every manufacturer goes through, whether it's hard drives, screens, I don't care what it is, motherboards, they all go through... how should I put it? The percentages, playing the percentages,
right,
because a certain percent of them are going to fail.
Right.
And I've had hard drives back when we were ordering, 30, 40 of them at a time. It wasn't uncommon out of those 30 to 40 to have 2-3 dead right out of the bag.
Yep. Yep. And
you just turn around, send them right back. That was just acceptable.
And that's an accepted thing, right.
Steve Gibson told a story on Security Now how Compaq back in the day, when they were Compaq, would buy more drives than they needed, run SpinRite on all the drives, on the dock before they received them, and ship all the old ones, the failed ones back.
Yep.
And so he sort of got a reputation among the hard drive manufacturers that, they didn't like him very much because companies kept shipping drives back that failed testing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's always going to be a percentage of everything that's going to fail.
And it's very possible that at some point, Apple is like every other manufacturer nowadays. They buy a million from this company. They buy a million from that company. One of the companies may have had a production run that was damaged bad in some way.
Yep, the platters or whatever. Yep.
Well, in this case, the screens.
Yep.
One of the coating on the screens. If you look at the pictures, they really are kind of horrible. They're really very horrible.
I didn't get a chance
to
see those.
It's a horribly ugly thing to see on yours, particularly something you just paid a few thousand dollars for, and it's from a company.
Yeah, that might be a little discerning.
right, that you expect to be as well
pristine,
put together as Apple.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's staingate.org or something.
Because they don't come cheap. Let's put
no
Apple product does.
Look at this. I mean, that's just, it's horrible. And I understand people would be angry about that. I would be.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly would be. I mean, I've got an old laptop that's got a little dent in the middle of the screen because it's got one of those mouse pointer things
Divot
in the middle.
Yeah. Thumb thing.
The thumb thing. Yeah. And
Eraser.
That's the word the polite word I was looking for. The eraser mouse.
Yep.
And between the G and the H, I think it is, or the H and the J. And at some point, because of the way this thing was manufactured, the lid closing on it, it's now about 10 years old, this laptop. And there's a little
dent.
Yeah, in the screen. And it's a little miscolored there. Well, you know what? Oh, well.
That's life in the big city.
But if I had paid $3,000 for that laptop and it was a few months old, I'd be angry.
Definitely. Well, then it's under warranty and you get it replaced.
Well, right, yeah. Right.
And that's what people are worried about is when the warranty expires and the problem comes back, that's where you start worrying about needing to pay for an out-of-warranty service. And that, and one of the things that Apple is typically does is when they replace the display, they replace the entire display assembly. So the front glass, the LCD panel, the backlights, the electronics, the cables, the rear housing, makes it faster to display, and that's to change. That's why it's that $800 you mentioned. We use some third-party companies to do out-of-warranty repairs, and it's closer to $300 to $400 to replace just the glass. It's a pain because the glass is glued to the LCD panel.
Right.
So it's a pain to have to do that replacement. So the parts are relatively inexpensive, but then the labor is terrible.
Right.
So you have a trade-off of which way you want to do it.
Right. But it is kind of horrible.
Yeah.
And if I were an owner of that particular laptop, I'd be incensed as well.
Yeah.
And I admit that.
Again, especially it's the price that you're paying. Because as we've said before, the Mac side of the world will always be a lot higher in their product cost and everything else.
Right.
Hard drives, laptops, desktops, phones.
But then you contrast that with something like this. I've had this Chromebook, which was, $250
yeah.
for several years. It looks brand new. There's a couple scratches on the case, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I was sitting next to somebody, if I had that Mac and sitting next to somebody with this,
yeah,
I'd be even angrier. Mm-hmm. You know?
And what did they jump on the internet and complain instead of taking it to the Apple Store for repair?
Well, but several people there say that's been repaired once or twice.
Yeah. That one guy was saying, it's happened twice.
He's happened twice, and it's been
happening
again.
And now they're giving him
again.
Grief.
Right, and they say they're not going to do it again, like it's his fault.
Yeah.
Well, if it's not his fault, then
somebody's sure.
Then you go up the chain and say, I've had this problem three times already. You know, give me a new computer.
Well, right.
Or you know, fix this one again.
Right. But, people who don't feel they're getting the answer they want from Apple will then do something StainGate.org.
What we often say when people tell us these things, you know, they call Apple, hang up and call back. You'll get a different guy. You might get a different answer. Sometimes, so there's sort of a general, can't think of the word. Sometimes they can issue repair.
RMA?
A customer satisfaction code, and you can get a repair done out of warranty. And it often depends on how polite you are, how nice you are about it, what your history has. So if you've already had this problem happen three times, and you call up and you don't swear at the guy on the phone,
right?
You're more likely to get help. Than
you know, people forget this, and I get it. We're angry at what happened. We spent thousands of dollars, particularly on the Apple side of things, where people don't just like their computers. They actually have a sexual relation with them in some weird way. I get
that's
that.
What the stain is.
No. See, I was hoping you would not go there, and I realized as soon as I said what I said, that you would find some way to make it probably an FCC violation. So we'll just move on now from that. So Rob's going to call any second. But here's the thing. I get, and I've forgotten entirely what I was going to say, but we have Mac people have an odd attachment to their hardware. And consequently, and they have a belief in Apple as a godlike thing somewhere out there in the ether, and it makes them angry when something like this happens. Part of it is I spent $3,000 that I really can't afford to buy this thing. Apple, who consistently tells me they're making hundreds of billions of dollars every quarter, can't fix it for me.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell? You know, and I get that. I do get that.
And we hear that at the store when people drop their computers off for repair. I can't live without it. Well, it's broken. You're going to have to.
Yeah.
And I almost wish we hadn't called them personal computers.
Right.
Because they're so personal. You know, we can't live without. But when PC people drop their computers off, it doesn't seem to be that way.
Well, exactly. It's my point. The Apple people have
I want it
an
tomorrow.
Emotional attachment to their computers. that nobody else seems to have.
Yeah.
You know, I love this Chromebook, but if it dies, I'll just go get another one. Right? I mean, yeah, so what?
You've got a $300
commodity computer, yeah.
Right, exactly. All right. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, and you, 19 minutes after the hour. Give us a call, 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415 at Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Who knows? Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
And we're going to party like it's 1999.
Are we? Good for us.
That was the song that was starting.
Yeah, I don't know where that one came from. Wow.
Just magically just happened.
Yeah. I didn't look and see what was preloaded. Evidently, that was down below. Never mind.
Apparently, yeah, exactly. Speaking of weather, there's a typhoon that has forced the evacuation of a million people. Of course, really? That's the teaser. Doesn't say where. Okay, hold on. I have to click read more to find out where.
Of course you do. It's the way those things go.
Yeah.
My favorite are the ones that it's like, what this dog did next shocked everyone. And what the dog did next was lie down and take a nap. Huh? Who is shocked by that? Yeah. What kind of an idiot?
I got suckered into one of those the other day. The dog climbed onto a kayak and his momentum of climbing onto it pushed it off into the lake.
And that shocked everybody.
That shocked people because the dog doesn't like water. So he just lay down in the kayak and waited for someone to come get him.
All right. Our next caller is Mike from Caledonia, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's up?
Hi, thanks. I got home. I usually leave my computer on all the time.
Sure.
And I started off because I was going away for a couple of days, and I came home yesterday and turned it on, and it was like a poof noise, and smoke came out of the inside of the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I took it apart, and I looked at the power supply, and I could not see anything that burned, but when I plugged the power supply in, the fan wouldn't go on.
Right. Yeah. You popped it. You're not going to see anything in there, because if you were to take the power supply apart, all you're going to do is see a bunch of resistors and diodes and a picofuse.
You might see something, Bert, but
not likely.
I would think like a capacitor or something might.
Could. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes they will bubble up, and you'll see them pop the tops. Or right. Where you've got a K, they'll split.
Yeah, but often you won't see, particularly in a power supply, it could be buried so deeply, you'd have to completely disassemble a power supply to find it.
And what that black puff could have been was, a power supply is like a huge vacuum cleaner, as I described to folks, because it's sucking air in to, keep everything cool.
Right.
So, dust, dirt, and everything else is just being sucked into that computer. That's why we usually have fans to draw it on out.
Right.
And that's probably what you saw, was some of that dust and dirt inside there just going poof.
We often joke that computers run on smoke, and if you let any out, they quit working.
You let out the magic smoke, you're done. But fortunately, it sounds like you're going to have to replace your power supply.
Yeah, fortunately, power supply are pretty...
You don't think it has anything to do with the motherboard, though, do you?
Well, there's only one way to find out.
Yeah,
it's usually a $30 investment. Otherwise,
depending on how many watts it is. Yeah, so on the side of the power supply, there'll be a wattage, 400, 500, 600, whatever wattage it is.
I didn't see anything. That's why I was...
There's a label on the side there. You got to take it outside of the case. You're going to have to take that power supply out of the case, and it's on one of the sides.
It's probably on the
back.
It's on the side you can't see.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What brand computer is it?
It's a generic brand. I had a local guy make it for me.
That is probably a pretty generic power supply. Well, I've seen issues with Dell and Compaq where they use custom micro power supplies that are hard to find.
Oh, okay.
They're a bear.
The name of the company is Enlight. I don't know.
Enlight, never heard of them.
Okay.
But yeah, you should be able to replace that fairly easily. And like Dave said, it's a $30 investment. If that's what did it, then you're done.
If you want, you can look around the logic board. With a magnifying glass and a light or something to see if you can see any smoke damage or damaged components.
To the power supply itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, on your main logic board, yeah.
Oh,
but it's usually the power supply takes all that and protects it from getting to the logic board to begin with.
Right. Okay, I will give it a look then, and then I'll go out and buy a new one Monday.
Yep. Okay,
that's
Mike.
How it works.
Thanks very
much. This could be an opportunity to get a whole new computer too.
That's right, honey.
No. Wait.
Well, yeah, wait till the Windows 10 machine. In fact, you got a story
Windows 10
later.
Yeah, it's coming out. And matter of fact, I had somebody yesterday asking me the same thing. Want to run out and get one? I go, if you can wait just another week or so, Windows 10 will officially be out.
Although
we don't know when you'll be able to buy a machine with Windows 10 in it.
Yeah. I can almost guarantee if they got final code already out there, most of the manufacturers, I mean, this is just. Listen, hear me now.
There will be some inventory still sitting around, though. So
yeah.
Yep. Although there is some advantage to getting a Windows 7 machine now and then upgrading to 10.
Yeah.
Because if you don't like 10, you can go back to 7. If you get a machine that comes with 10, it'll be a lot harder to go back to 7.
Right.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've got sitting on the other computer, the icon sitting there waiting to do 10. So I think I might do that this coming week if I find the time.
Well, it's not gonna do anything. You have to have signed up already to get it early, and then they're going to start rolling it out on the 29th.
Yeah, I already did for the, upgrade this one particular machine, because, again, I want to play.
Well, they're going to start rolling out on the 29th. The people who are going to get it first are the people who actually signed up as part of the beta program, and then they're going to generally roll it out from other people. That's what we said that last week. We said, don't call us on the 29th if you didn't get your upgrade, because A, we aren't Microsoft. B, it's going to be a while before it rolls out to the 150 billion people who have Windows machines.
Yeah, so, they roll out on the West Coast first.
Probably, but yeah.
Our luck, yeah. Most of the time.
Yeah.
It's just like Dick getting internet. Everybody else around the
neighborhood. Get over yourself.
I love it. You still liking it?
No, I love it. I do not like it. I love it.
Yeah, I was just talking to somebody else about that. Who was it? Because they were very disappointed in one of the providers here that they got the upgrade to go the faster speed. And they go, I don't see any difference.
Yeah.
I go, because there's so many determining factors.
Right. And that's even true of mine. I mean, there are sites that I go to where stuff downloads so fast I can hear the sucking sound out on the internet. There are other times when it's just as slow as if I were running a modem. Yeah. And that's because the other end is slow. There's nothing Greenlight or any other company can do about that.
Once you get beyond their reach.
Right.
And it's called the World Wide Web.
Right. You know, the way the internet works, pretty much anybody with a rusty pair of pliers and a couple of wires can call themselves part of the internet and sell downstream access. So depending on who's upstream of you, you may get, but they're not upstream of you, but between you and the other end, there could be anybody in there. And stuff happens. I'll go to one place one day and it's very fast. The next day it's very slow because somebody in between them had a hardware issue.
I've often seen it's the ads that are slow loading.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them only come from one or two ad aggregators. And so sometimes just hitting cancel and reload will make it load faster because it got a different ad.
Right. Also, there was a college that did an ad block thing, essentially, at their edge. In other words, it blocked the ads from coming in to the entire campus network for a week as just part of a test. Their network traffic dropped 25%.
Yep.
That's not hard to believe.
I've also seen studies that show HTTPS secure traffic is significantly smaller and faster than non-secure traffic.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so the move to make every website secure is going to help speed that up too.
Right. Google is also doing some things now. You can set it so that Google servers will compress a website before it gets sent to you.
Yep. And there's a new protocol coming on, Speedy, SPDY,
right,
to replace HTTP that is a lot faster than HTTP was.
Right,
so all this stuff together. So the content providers, the standards providers, they're all trying to make everything faster.
Yeah, right. And again, it's getting everybody online and in line,
right,
to do all this. I mean,
and of course, Internet 2, which we do not have. The average schmuck on the street does not have Internet 2. But Internet 2 is
any
a
third
minimum...
World, third world country.
Right, right. Internet 2 is a minimum of 100 megabit.
Probably go over to Mexico. They might have it.
Right, right. No, right now, it's, you know, when the Internet first started, it was the military and some educational institutions.
No, Al Gore did it.
Al Gore did it, but he gave it to the government and some
Stanford
educational institutions.
And MIT were the yep. first
Stanford,
two.
Stanford, yep. MIT, mm-hmm. RIT was fairly early in the process.
You can kind of tell by how low their IP number is.
Right. The first 128 were reserved by the military. And so if your number starts at 129, and RIT's is 129.21, so that tells you.
Yeah, they're right up there.
Yeah, that tells you something. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, the point here is that there was a point at which we had a meeting back in the day about who else we would let on the internet. And I wish I still had it, but one of the members brought everybody a shirt for this particular committee that said, "The internet is full. Go away." It was yep. hysterical. I wish I still had mine. I wore it all the time, and I should have just put it away in a bag somewhere.
Yeah, but who knows?
That's actually becoming true now. We've run out of IPv4 addresses.
Right.
And they're being auctioned off as companies realize they don't need 16 million addresses themselves, so they're auctioning off Class B's and Class C's. Mm-hmm. And prices are skyrocketing for what used to right. be a free IP address you got.
Right.
And apparently that's all cheaper than implementing IPv6. Is buying someone else's IPv4.
Well, but at some point, IPv6 will be the thing because
it's just when.
Actually, right. one of the things I had heard is that some companies are selling off their IPv4 extra space to fund their conversion to IPv6.
Right, and the point of my original story was that when we essentially let everybody on the internet. But now Internet 2 is following essentially the same process. The government has it. Mm-hmm. Some educational institutions have it. Eventually, they'll roll it out to the rest of us. But some of the requirements of Internet 2 are 100 megabit minimum speed and IPv6.
Yeah, but if the government's involved in it, it'll get messed up.
Well, the government is using it. They're not involved in creating it.
Thank goodness.
But at any rate, so my point is that we will... at some point, clearly see Internet 2 as the standard that everybody uses just about the time the government gets Internet 3.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. You know, this is the one time that Reaganomics trickle down works. So we should, you know, we're as fast as the weakest link, but there will come a point where the weakest link is much faster.
I remember reading some science fiction stories where there's worlds of magic and sorcery, and this one company worked out a bridge between the physical internet, and they'll take the IP packet and create a spell and attach it to a magical creature and put it into the magic world so you can get internet in the other
nice.
Realms.
Nice. Well, the internet is becoming ubiquitous. There are people who are trying to argue that the internet is now a basic right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this is where you get a lot of entertainment and a lot of frivolous la 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 la, but it's also where a lot of education comes from. It's very hard to be a student nowadays and not have unfettered fast access to the internet. It puts a student at an immediate disadvantage to not have that available to them. So we need to see, you know, more of that rolled out for everybody. But again, it's not cheap to create it. It's not free to set it up. So how do you fund that sort of thing? How do you reasonably charge people for it and still get... Everybody wants super speed, but super speed costs money.
We had somebody text us here, just to jump in for a second here.
Yeah.
This person says, I have Windows 7 SP1 HP notebook. It is set up, it's up to date, but I never got the Windows 10 icon. Will I ever get the icon or be able to upgrade to Windows 10?
You should.
Yeah.
You should. The Windows 10 icon is in the lower right corner there. it may be hidden because you don't always see all the icons.
And if you have automatic updates turned off, it may not be there.
Yeah,
because it came in as a Microsoft update.
Right. So if you haven't been doing your updates, then you don't have that. But look not just at the ones you can see, but generally there's a little thing that shows you all the ones you can't see.
And I'll post a link on how to manually reserve your copy now.
Perfect. And in the meantime, we're going to take a little break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Mina, Francesco, and you. 39 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, the longest-running computer show in the known universe, on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we have Wayne from Henrietta, New York on the line. Hiya, Wayne. What's up?
Oh, sorry. I had the mute on. Hi, guys.
How are you?
A few days ago, I watched my beloved Nexus 7 2013 edition spontaneously reboot, then die, and it won't boot past the Google logo. You, Nick, and Dave turned me on to these. I absolutely love it. Keep reaching for it and picking up a dead Android. I spoke with tech support, and it's quite likely that it needs a motherboard replacement at about $200. And also looked at used motherboards for about $75. Think I can put it in if I can get it apart without damaging it, so the point it can go back together. But not sure that it's worth it given that it's already older technology. So I'm wondering, what's your favorite tablet these days? I'm looking for Android. Either KitKat or Lollipop would be fine. Like the plain vanilla Android OS without overlays like they have on the Samsungs.
Yeah, if you get a newer tablet, you're going to get a faster chip. You're going to get more memory, more storage, everything bigger, better, faster than they used to be.
Yeah, because I got the Samsung LG 5 like Nick has. When I went in to trade up on that phone, they said, oh, do you want their tablet? And it was a nice little tablet for $22.
Yeah.
Normally $129, you know. So I got that one. So it's a Verizon. I forget what brand.
I've heard that Verizon is doing that with a lot of different tablets, really undercutting retail prices for them. But your first decision on a new machine is whether you want to get the 7-inch or the 9-inch or the 10-inch or, you know, what size you want.
Yeah, I like the 7 or possibly 8 because it fits in my hand. It's great for using as an ebook reader with my Kindle app. But I haven't found anything that I like quite as much as the Nexus 7. So,
well, and I'm with you. I you know, one of the problems that I have with my Nexus 7, sadly, is that it's just, I've got the original one from 2012, and the latest update slowed it down horribly.
What version of update are you on, Nick?
I know, 5.5.
Yeah, the version 5 update pretty much killed a lot of the Nexus 5.
Yeah, 5 trashed it. I just upgraded to 5.1. I haven't had time to play with that because right now, to be honest with you, my other tablet, like you were saying there, Mike, you know, the other tablet's faster. Although the Nexus was a great machine when it was out, it's just...
So it looks like the 7, Google has not updated. They have a 5, 6, and 9 now.
Yeah, they have the 9. The 9 is about twice the price that the Nexus 7 was.
Right,
also.
Yeah. And the 9 is too big. I want something that's the size of a paperback.
Right, exactly.
So I'm looking at the NVIDIA Shield, which is an 8-inch tablet.
Yeah, somebody mentioned that to me at Best Buy the other day. I hadn't heard of it.
NVIDIA makes really good stuff.
It's the same maker as the high-end graphic cards?
Yes, exactly.
Yep. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Dell makes an 8-inch that I have not seen yet.
Looks like Asus makes a 7-inch.
The other thing, though...
Asus made the original... Google
right.
Tablet.
I looked at those as well. There's also a new Lenovo tablet out there. Not quite as high resolution, but for $129, I thought, well.
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing that I would recommend is, all right, you can go to Best Buy. You can go to BJ's or Sam's. You can go to Staples. You can go to Verizon. You can go to all these different places and see their tablets on display.
Right.
Look and at actually them. Put your hands on them, see how you like the clarity, where the buttons are, the various features, and actually do a hands-on.
Right.
How heavy they are.
Yeah. Yep.
I have. Still can't decide.
Yeah. It's a very tough choice.
That,
at
that
this
we
point.
Can't help you with.
I will say that I generally like Lenovo's products.
Yes. Lenovo's good.
But then there was that Superfish mess they did. So I know a lot of people are boycotting Lenovo.
Yeah.
I love their tablets. I mean, their laptops.
Yeah. Yep.
Again, you got to go out and test drive some.
Oh, by the way, the question about the Windows 10 icon coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I have a year old machine. It came up eventually, but when it first came up, it said that my processor wasn't compatible, and I knew that couldn't be right. So they've had some issues with the notification icon. A couple older machines, I actually had to go on and look at that manual method. Steve, you were talking about, and that made it eventually come up on some of the machines. So, but if you don't get the reservation icon, it just means it won't download it automatically ahead of time.
Yeah.
And you can download the ISO and do a clean install too, which I recommend anyway.
Right.
So.
And if you do have a name brand PC, they will probably have specific upgrade instructions because you may need to upgrade drivers either before or during the Windows 10 install.
Right.
So that's one of the advantages of a name brand PC is they usually put out those upgrade instructions.
Right. And I've been doing the technical preview since January, so I've tried almost every version that came out. It's definitely it's gotten a lot better, especially in the last three builds. So it's quite stable now. And a couple of the older machines, I was wondering, is this going to be compatible? Because I've been installing, obviously, there's no drivers, additional drivers for them right now. And it's actually been, I've been amazed. I have an old Lenovo laptop that's about 8 years old, and it's working pretty good on it. So I'm pretty optimistic this is going to be a good release.
Supposedly, though, if you still, which I'm doing right now, is just stashing my Nexus 7 aside, because supposedly 5.2 is coming out. And that's more or less Nexus's way of apologizing that, it's coming out and it's going to put things back and everybody should be happy, yada, 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 yada. But I'll believe it when I see it.
Right.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Good luck. Let us know what you decide
and
how happy you are with it. Thanks.
Yep. That's one thing we've always seen in the Mac world is that there are too many choices in the Windows. It's great to have choices, but I don't want to have 20 choices, two or three maybe.
Right.
So how do you decide between a $50 no-name brand tablet and, a $200 high-end brand tablet?
Right. Oh, I forgot to mention, we're on YouTube now. If you search for soundbites.org, you'll find us, and we are...
And I have the link at the top of the... Our homepage.
Right. And that'll, so if you want to watch what you want to see us live, that's the way to do it. All right. We got time for another call?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Sure. Our next caller is Ed from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, Ed. What's up?
Hey, guys. Good morning or good afternoon. I've got the Windows logo on my laptop, and I signed up for the, Windows 10 update, and a couple days later, the icon came back on with the same thing, sign up.
Mm-hmm.
It's been there ever since. Can I assume, I got the confirmation that I signed up, but shouldn't that go away?
Well, it depends on, their notification system might have gotten messed up, so you're getting a duplicate.
You would think it should go away.
Should I sign up again? I guess that's the question.
Wouldn't hurt.
Couldn't hurt to sign up again.
What's it going to do? You get two copies instead of one.
If you're pretty sure you're in the same place and doing and looking at the same thing, and it's not a it's not on a web page somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. Make sure it's actually in the
it is
in the
what
box
it is,
at the bottom and what do you call that down there in the lower right
task corner?
Task bar.
Down the lower right hand corner.
Yep. That's where I signed up.
Yep.
Yep, that's the place.
Now, my wife's got a used laptop. It's got Windows 7. She hasn't received anything on that yet. Is that a problem with registration? Or
no, the theory is everybody will get it. It's just not going to come all at once.
And the other thing is, too, it's going to be how old the machine is, the laptop, because you could have Windows 7 on it, but, it's like any of the other operating systems. We can put it on. It'll run. Are you going to be happy with it? maybe not. You know, depending on the processor, how much memory is in it, the hard drive space.
Yep.
Those are going to be a lot of factors, because some folks, you know, they got it. And, oh, yeah, I get the Windows 10 update. And they've got, say, a 40-gig hard drive or a 60-gig hard drive, and 7/8 of it is already filled up with music and pictures. Guess what? That operating system isn't going to fit.
Yeah. And you can go
in. But if I get it while it's free, it's no big deal, because
they're not
going to support Windows 7 anymore. So.
Correct. Yeah. I'm just stating a generic thing for folks to look out for.
And you can go in to customize your system tray and turn off that icon if you don't want to see it anymore.
Yeah, well, I just want to make sure that they do have the reservation, so maybe I'll go through it again.
Yeah, won't hurt, like I say, so you wind up with two copies. No big deal.
Yeah, if you got the response code, then that's probably indication that you do have it. You can also go back to the icon. So here we are. So I just found on their FAQ list, the icon stays, it doesn't go away. But if you right-click on it, there should be something that says check upgrade status instead of reserve your upgrade.
Okay. Great. I'll try that.
Okie doke.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Yep. Bye.
Yeah, everybody's asking about when it's going to be available to them. They don't care when it's going to be available.
Yeah.
They want to know when it's available to them. But nobody's going to be first. Nobody you know is going to be first. I'll guarantee you that.
The opera complex. Me. Right.
Exactly. Mine.
Oh, I love the minimum requirements. You need a 1 gigahertz processor and 1 gigabyte of RAM. Minimum.
Microsoft has been lying about the minimum requirements
since Windows 3.1.
Exactly.
And an 800 by 600 monitor.
Yeah, but again, no, they're true, though. They're correct.
It will run.
Yes.
Now, are you going to want to put your fist through the monitor?
Yes.
You measure response time with a calendar, but it will run. but you want look.
Start a process, go out to the grocery store, come
exactly. You want 4 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, minimum.
At a minimum. And you want a 2 gigahertz processor at a minimum. Faster is better. A
terabyte hard drive.
You want a terabyte hard drive.
Not totally loaded with all your pictures and music.
Right. The other thing, we're going to find a lot of people who can't install it because they don't have enough space on their hard drive.
Well, I already ran into that because the guy was trying to put some other stuff on his hard drive, and he brought it in, and he goes, you know, I got a terabyte machine. You know, this should be plenty of space. I started looking at it. And he's got most of his music library on there, and then all these photos. I said, you need another hard drive. What do you mean? I said, you got a phone. And I pulled up this other program to show him where most of disk space is, and it's all pictures and music.
A terabyte's not as much as it used to be.
No, he only had maybe a couple gig.
Yep. Yeah.
There's a great program for Windows called Tree Size Free that will sort your folders by the biggest size so you can see where your space is being used. Similar one for the Mac called Omni Disk Sweeper. Because you can do a properties on any folder and see how big it is, but it's nice to be able to see where your space is being used. So in Dave's example, that 1 terabyte drive, he might find 200 gigabytes in Windows temp files, I don't need those anymore. Yeah.
Well, and here's the big thing: we all keep our music and our pictures on our laptops, and if we're doing that because we're always out on the road and we're always want something to listen to, that's one thing. But if it's because you don't have any place else to put it, buy yourself some external storage, whether you attach it to the network or to your computer, and put on it. Look, I don't care who you are. I guarantee you, you've got music you don't listen to anymore. I will guarantee you have music you don't listen to anymore. So take that music off. Give yourself some space. You're going to need an awful lot of space for the Windows upgrade. We don't know exactly yet how much, but it's going to be a lot. So my suggestion is pictures you don't need to look at every day.
Back them up.
Put them on a different media. Put them on two different media. Get yourself some sort of external backup drive.
Oh, they're so
also
cheap
put
now.
And also put them on flash drives. Or buy two external backup media. And put them on your network and save stuff to them. And then take them off your main machine. First, if you've got everything backed up on a laptop, that's bad to begin with. Laptops get moved, laptops get dropped, laptops break. If you only have one copy of your data, you don't have your data anymore. So you need to make a backup somewhere at the very least. And make two backups, and then you don't have to keep it on your laptop, and you can free up that space for your upgrade. We're going to get a lot of calls about, well, I won't upgrade. What do I do? Make some room. Why do I want to get rid of everything? You don't have to get rid of anything. you back it up somewhere else.
Why is there so much space in this Win directory? I deleted it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. That music tells me you've wasted an entire hour of your life with this nonsense. And we know that you're not a quick learner, so you have the chance to do it again on the other side of this break. But you are listening to Dave Enright, to Steve Ray, to me, Nick Francesco. We are bringing you the longest-running computer show in the known universe, and you can join in the mayhem. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Join us. We have a whole nother hour of this nonsense coming up. And so we'll see you on the other side with the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites, and it's right here on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in just a few minutes.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And welcome back to this edition of Soundbites. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Nick Francesco.
Kind of caught us off guard here. There, we got gabbing away and kind of lost track
that was
of time.
4 minutes just now.
One thing, though, I was going to bring up. As we're talking about external hard drives, and I was talking about this just 2 weeks ago with Jerry Seward, and I had an individual come in, is those flash sticks. You know, they're great. They're, you know, you can put them in your pocket and everything else, and this guy did just what I said that you shouldn't do. He was quick grabbing his laptop. He still had the memory stick in the side. As he's going down the stairs, he trips.
Yep.
It bends just a little, as he put it.
Yeah.
Guess
a little
what?
Dabble, do you?
All that information, and it was a 64 gig flash drive by SanDisk, couldn't get the information off.
Even with a flash drive, you still need to have a second copy of it somewhere.
Don't and the thing that is, so, that those things don't walk around with them. That's all you got to do is bump it. It is a little circuit in there. That all it is. The sand, you know, the memory sticks are flash memory. They're great. They're fast and everything else. But there's a little circuit board that hooks up to that and five little fingers that are soldered in there. They get broken off.
You're done.
All that information on there, yeah, it's still there, but you ain't getting it off. And the best thing I told him was, because SanDisk, I don't know, they may be able to recover it there. So I told them, you know, give them a call, see if they could possibly take it in and possibly get it back.
But Drive Savers is another big forensic recovery company.
We used to see this all the time. It always broke my heart. Students would come in with a flash drive and say, my only copy of my thesis is on this and I can't read it. What do I do? My first response is, I'm sorry. Your thesis was not important enough to you to spend $10 to buy a backup flash drive, but I should spend 4 days of my life repairing it and finding it?
And weren't students given server space?
Yeah, students are given server space. So.
The other thing that I recommend, and it's cheap, folks, if you like using flash drives a lot, especially on your desktop or even on your laptop, they make a nice 6-inch extension flash drive extension cord.
Yep.
It's a little 6-inch thing. You can pop it in there. That way the flash drive hangs off. If anything's going to get damaged, it's going to be this cord.
Right.
Not your flash drive.
Right.
So look into one of those. There's like $3-4. It makes it more convenient, especially if you're bending down and putting, say, the flash drive into yep. your hard drive.
No, a lot of
with that extension thing there, you can just, it's an extra 6 inches sticking out. You can quick look down it, pop it in, even through your bifocal, see through it, and
yeah, I know a lot of people that use those if they have USB ports on the back of their tower.
Yeah.
Because then you just, you put a 6-foot extension on it and bring it to the front of the tower, so you yep. don't have to keep reaching around behind.
The other thing that makes me crazy is people who just grab one of these things and throw it in their pockets and go.
Yeah.
When you buy them, people, they come in a little plastic case. That's not just so they look good. Mm-hmm. These things are delicate. If you get oils and grease, if you scratch up the connectors,
mm-hmm.
You will not be able to read that thing anymore. So you want to treat them a little carefully, particularly nowadays when they're making those connectors so thin you can scrape them off with a penny.
Well, that's why I prefer the USB flash drives, that take
the SD cards.
The SD cards.
Yep.
And it'll even take the macros, because you can put any size SD card in there. And what I love about it is I'm able to lock it.
Yep.
And I've gotten in the habit. I automatically lock it once I put something on there. So I can't accidentally erase anything off of it. And nothing bad as far as viruses or anything else, Trojans or that type of stuff, can get into it and infect it and mess things up.
I have two kinds now. The original one where you that I showed you originally, which you, where you put the SD card inside it and it becomes a single self-contained unit.
Yeah.
But now I've got one where the SD card sticks out of the side. It's larger and it's clumsier, which means that A, I'm more likely not to forget it, and B, more likely to see it if I go to pick up the laptop and start moving stuff around. Yeah. I actually prefer that one more now. So, yeah, it's, but you got to be careful with flash drives. They look so cool, but they don't really.
Yeah, they're great.
There it is. Okay. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bob from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's up?
Oh, good afternoon. I would suggest a Corsair Flash Voyager line. They are rubber encased and almost bulletproof. I've had one on my keychain for 3 years, and I've never had a problem with it.
Nice. Yeah, I've actually got a little 8-gig flash drive on my keychain myself right now, and it's from iMation, and it's very nice. But as we were talking about, you can't lock it. That's the only thing I don't like about it, is that you can't lock it from someone writing to it. So I'm reluctant to put it into anybody's computer except my own. But yes, I've used the Corsair Voyagers, and they're very nice. You're talking about the rubberized ones, right?
Yeah, they're rubber encased, waterproof. You really got to work at it to wreck one.
Yep.
Yeah, but no, like Nick said, though, the only thing I'm apprehensive about is not having a lock protect on it.
Not having a lock protect and leaving it in the machine to bend. The other problem is you bend the inside of the connector inside the computer. You're done now, because that's soldered on the motherboard.
And that's why I say that's where those extensions, it's a 6-inch extension for USB cables.
Yep.
And I've got them throughout the shop and upstairs. And like Steve said, too, if that's not long enough, get one, the standard 3-footer. Hook it to the back of your machine, bring it around front so it sits on top of your tower or even on your laptop. So it sits, brings it around the side, and you can use it.
Yep, but that's an excellent idea. The Corsair Voyagers are a nice line. Thanks, Bob.
They do have one called the Flash Padlock 2 that does have hardware encryption and lock on it.
Yeah.
It's not cheap, but it's
yeah, probably not.
Whereas every SD card has a lock
on it. Yeah, that's why I love about this one.
It's backing up is so important, but it's equally important where you back up, because backing up to a delicate medium is not a good backup solution. If you have a flash drive that you just plug in, back up to, and then put it in a drawer somewhere, that's not bad, because you can do that to 2 or 3 or 4 of them. Having something... But now it still requires that you sit down and do it regularly. If you've got something sitting on your network, and you can set up an automated backup to it, that's better yet. And putting it out on the cloud is equally as good because, frankly, any of the reputable places will do the backup, their own backups, which means that your likelihood of losing your data is very minimal. So I'm a huge believer in backing up to the cloud.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm a huge believer. And it's pretty cheap these days. Oh, and of course, you know, we're going to have all the people say, I don't pay for backup because I'm a cheap son of a pup.
Yeah,
well,
but the
you
Google
know what?
Drive
good for
is.
You.
And $5 a month is the average going price.
Right. But, you know, good for you that you're cheap. But so what? When you lose your stuff, yeah, what have you got? An extra $20 in the bank? Big frickin' deal.
Exactly.
Who cares?
And then when you
your
bring it to us
gone.
To yeah. try to get it off,
it's going to cost you a lot more than $20.
I thank you.
But it's ridiculous. Spend the money and make the backups. And
well,
and,
it's like the old Pram oil filter. You can pay us now.
Yep.
Or pay us later.
Yep.
One way or the other, you're going to pay.
And I get it. There are a lot of people on limited incomes. I'm one of them now. But you got to set your priorities. I have pictures of my daughter that I don't ever want to lose. That's worth it to me to back those up. It's worth it to me. Of course, I'm using Google Photo, which backs up everything for free.
Yep.
Because I don't need the super high resolution. I don't really care about that.
As long as you can see the picture and recognize faces. And
right. I have another.
You don't have to see all the
megapixel
the
anyway, right?
It's 16 megapixel is the limit for the free one.
Yeah, and most cameras are lower than that anyway.
Right. My camera is a 16 megapixel camera. The iPhone camera is 8 megapixels. So you're not gonna exceed it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna say you don't have to count each nose hair in the person. Yeah,
exactly.
Nostril.
And if you want to, you can pay for that space. They don't. They don't care. They're more than happy to take your money.
Be glad to take your money.
But so I have a backup on another disk in the same machine on another drive on my network, and in Google Drive and for documents and photo for photos. And now I feel kind of secure. And although it did cost me to put in the second hard drive in my desktop, and it did cost me to buy a network-attached storage device, the costs were minimal.
Well, that's why I told a friend about the G Drive. You know, being able to create documents, and especially if you do it in Google Docs, you can share it within folks. If everybody goes on Google Docs, it's free. And you can send a Google Doc to anybody else, whether they're using, I don't know if folks are still using WordPerfect or Word. It doesn't matter because it's all in rich text format that anybody can read. But the beauty is that you can share it, or you could be at one place, go over to another, say your work, and off your G Drive, pull it up or the Google Drive Docs.
One of the nice things about Google Drive is that you can set it up so that every time you upload something, it converts it to Google's own format. This is important because when a document is in Google's own format, it doesn't count against your space. I have over 15,000 documents up in my directory. I also have over 15,000 photos in my Google Drive, and I'm using less than 2 gig of my disk space. And most of that is a couple of movies and a couple of not commercial movies, but you know, movies, and a couple of PDF documents. But the rest of it is all essentially free space. And when I send something to somebody, I can send it directly from Google, but I can also download it as a Word document or as an RTF or as a PDF. And send it that way, and then it's, you know, it's essentially the same thing.
Yep. Yeah, no difference. It doesn't, and the folks behind the scenes are receiving it don't need to know that.
Yep.
Right.
Apparently, in 2012, I was using Google Photos.
There you go.
We probably talked about it back then. I uploaded a few photos to it.
And never did another thing.
Christmas of 2012 at my mom's house is on there.
Nice. I talked a little bit about this last week, but I'm kind of amazed at how very cool Google Photos is.
They probably rolled Picasa Web into this, didn't they?
They probably did. So you probably saved it in Picasa.
Yeah.
But I've got, like I said, 15,000 photos, and I'm using a total of 2 gig of my disk space, and that's mostly some things I could get rid of any day. It's pretty. That's mine, isn't it? It's my father. That's a manifest for my father's boat coming over in 19 whatever.
Maybe
1915.
How did I get a copy of it?
I don't know. I shared it. Probably it's on a shared drive. Are you sure those aren't my photos? And I just shared them with you.
Not unless you were at my mom's house for Christmas.
No, probably not.
My sister is there. Yeah, there's broken computers.
I'm pretty sure not.
The office.
I say we didn't get an invite.
I know. I know. Well, you know, now you know where you stand.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Thank you.
No, I'm a big fan of free storage, and 16 megapixel maximum limit per picture is not a big problem for me, and converting things back and forth is not a big problem for me when it results in essentially unlimited free storage. So I'm pretty happy with those as backup options, but you got to find something that makes you happy and do the backups. It tears my heart out when somebody says, you know, my only pictures of my parents were on this drive.
Yeah, and I meant to back them up.
And I meant to back them up. Well, stop meaning to back them up and back them up today. This is your wake-up call.
Mm-hmm. While you're sitting at the radio listening to us, run a backup.
Well, exactly.
That's the thing, though. I mean, you can set it up to do the backups. What I've encouraged folks to do, just like on the scans, pick a particular night you want to do it. Turn the monitor off before you go to bed, start the process, turn the monitor off, leave it running, and it'll do it while you're sleeping.
Right. For those of us who never turn off our machines, I back up every single night.
Same here.
So I'm vulnerable from whenever I saved it to the hard drive until 2 a.m.
Yep.
You know, and that's it for me. And other than that, I've got everything backed up.
Matter of fact, I just had to update my batch file because I added another couple folders.
Yep. Yep.
I still do things in batch files. I still like writing code.
Well, and why not? I do the same thing in under Linux. You know, they don't call it batch files. Same idea. And you can run the at command and do all that stuff and make these things happen pretty easily. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Give us a call. 966-5299, 800-790-0415. For a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, it's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Gary from Greece, New York, on the line. Welcome, Gary. What's up?
Yes, I got a question on Facebook.
Yeah.
When I tried to start a video chat, either in Firefox or Chrome, I'm having trouble with both the video and or audio in each browser. And I can't get people to... hear me most of the time on Facebook and on Firefox.
And this is on websites?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, you need a video player for that. And I'm checking to see if I can find out what it is. The most common video player is Flash. And Flash video player gets updated quite frequently. Mm-hmm. And the browsers will disable it if it gets too old.
I've got it disabled in Firefox, and I know Chrome supposedly doesn't have one.
Yeah, well,
Chrome has Flash, but auto updates it itself.
Okay. So what?
So you may need to update Flash in your Firefox browser to allow it to work with Facebook video.
I've done all that, even in Chrome. Everything's all updated, and still they're telling me they can't hear me, and/or can't see me, and I know my camera's on and. Everything is working fine in Skype, but not Facebook.
And what is your operating system, did you say?
7, Windows 7.
Windows 7, yeah. And when you play a video on Facebook, can you hear the sound then?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so it's just your Hangouts or whatever they're called Facebook.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that's a whole different story. That may, as Steve said, that may still be a Facebook issue.
Okay.
you may not have the latest Flash installed. Also, if you updated Flash with a bunch of other browser windows open, that's a problem.
You often have to quit all your browser windows and then reopen them to let the new Flash in.
Yeah, I usually do all that. And I know I got the latest one. I've been checking the last couple few days, and I'm always up to date.
If you use,
you also have to tell Flash, allow Flash to use your camera and microphone.
Right.
Okay, that's done right in the Flash.
In the Flash console, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It should come up and say, do you want to allow this program?
Okay.
And you got to make sure everything is checked correctly and then say yes.
Yeah, okay.
But before we go that far, let's take a look at another possibility. If you use something like Google's Hangout and just connect with another person, can they hear you then?
I don't think I use that or even have that.
You said Skype works okay?
Skype works fine, yeah.
Oh, Skype works fine. Okay, yeah. All right. Then it definitely is a Facebook problem.
Unless Skype is, does Skype have a helper app, and is it still grabbing your camera and microphone expecting you to use Skype again? Because only one program at a time can use the camera or microphone.
How do I adjust that? Because usually Skype is not on all the time.
Well, but it may be starting up with your system.
So how do I check that?
What you want to do is first take a look in the startup folder. You know, when you bring up menu, you can look in the start, see if there's a Facebook startup there. If not, go to start run and type in msconfig, msconfig.
Okay, got it.
And then go to the startup tab, and you might turn off something like that. Turn off the preload for Skype.
Okay, good. All right. Okay. All right, try that. Thank you, guys.
Yep. I know Facebook has got Messenger apps for each of the mobile devices. I don't think they have one for the computer yet.
Right.
All right.
I would try that first.
Okay, I will. Thank you much.
All right, thanks. You're not alone in this problem, though. There seem to be a whole lot of other people who are having it, frankly. but yeah, it's a Flash issue, and God, I hate Flash. I hate Flash. But yeah, so I would suggest trying those things first. Before we go back to the phones, let me remind everybody that we are also on YouTube, speaking of video. If you go to youtube.com and look up soundbites.org, you will find us. You can you can subscribe to our channel, and you can watch us live on the YouTubes there.
That's scary.
The tubes of you, we are there.
I keep saying I have a face for radio, and that's where I like to keep it.
Yes, you do, as do we all. So, all right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tim from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Tim. What's up?
Yeah, hi, guys. Tubes of you, I like that. you guys were talking about the thumb drives, and I've had this one frustrating inconvenience that I think is probably an easy fix, but I've never figured out how. If I put my the thumb drive into the side of the computer, the way I access it is I go to the start menu, then computer, and then I've got the travel drive, for example, over there. And I'll click on it, and when I open the contents, and it's doing it to me right now, so the timing is perfect, there's a drop-down menu. What I'm getting is it defaulted to the details option. I want it to stay on large icons. How do we do that? So that whenever I open up one of these things, it defaults to the large icons.
Right.
Yeah.
What we generally do is once you've opened it, we set it to large icons. Then you hit F5.
Oh.
Which theoretically...
Should save it.
Awesome. Okay, that's
maybe
easy enough, theoretically.
Yeah. It's Windows.
Well, it's... Yeah.
I'm sorry?
It's Windows. What do you want?
Right.
It's all theory.
Okay. can I give one brief experience on my DSL connection?
Go for it.
Yeah.
Okay. I just switched from cable over to DSL, and I was very happy, saving almost $40. The speed seemed the same or even a little bit better. Then 4 days in, the line went down with the telephone line, and it took 5 whole days to get it back up. And we're going to stick with them. But, my gosh, it was a frustrating experience, and I just wanted to pass that along to everyone. I don't want to talk bad about the company. I just felt like I had an obligation to say something because it was so frustrating. And that's all I have to say. And thanks for your show.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, I've had DSL for quite a while. I mean, I started with it. And, I mean, I'm very happy with it. I've never had any issues. Yes, like anything else. It might go out for a few hours, but his experience there, I think it's just one of those things, you know? Yeah. I mean, with the winds and storms that we've had...
You're always going to find somebody with a bad experience.
Yeah, right. You know, that's not to be unexpected. I mean, with that thunderstorm and that they had come through here with those high winds in there, that was taking out branches and everything else. So to knock that down, that's, you know, giving them a fair, you know, assessment. You know, it takes a few days because who knows how many other lines went down in those storms. And they get to them as fast as you can. It's just like with the electricity. They try to get, you know, folks back online after a storm and that. So, you know, don't be... You're right in giving them a, you know, a second chance and be fair about it because that's not the norm. And that's been the way with me, too.
Yep.
I've been having an issue with my local cable provider where screens pixelate. And it's been happening for 2 months now, a month and a half anyway.
Yeah, it's been going on a while.
A month and a half. And, you know... On the one hand, I could be very angry that I'm paying for channels I can't watch. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, they are very responsive. They come in and try stuff. So far, I've replaced my DVR box. They've replaced most of the wires in the house. They've replaced most of the splitters in the house.
Mm-hmm.
They've replaced most of the wires and splitters outside the house. They replaced the whole wire from the house to the pole. You know, I'm not even sure what's left, but we're still having the issue. But they're working on it, and that's, you know, I get it. This is not an easy and simple problem. Now they've said, I haven't seen whether it's there yet or not, but they said they're going to put a monitor on the line to see if they can figure out what the hell the issue is.
Hmm.
But, so, you know, I'm like I said, on the one hand, I'm paying for channels I can't watch, and that makes me angry. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, they certainly have been responsive, and they're working on the problem. And I can't ask more than that. You know?
The problem is, once it's resolved, who knows what, you know, final...
Well, the problem is, you're a reasonable man.
That's the problem right there. I blame my parents.
Yeah.
Sure, now you're going to get his head so swollen, Steve, he won't be able to get out of the studio today.
Yeah. Oh, I'll get out of the studio today, trust me.
I may not.
Yeah, the hike that we got to take.
I think Nick is going to be running a shuttle service.
I'll give you guys a ride. I can do that.
No, next week I think I'm going to bring the trike.
Yeah.
Because I walked around the backside. For you folks that don't know, if you come by here, Olympia High School, it looks like a bomb hit the front parking lot. I mean, it is just torn up.
It's going to be beautiful. They're replacing everything. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Now, I wonder, it looks like they're, you know, where we usually walk, it looks like they're putting parking there too.
There's going to be parking very close to the front here.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be very, very nice when they're done. It's just going to be a while till they're done.
Well, like I said,
just like me and my local cable provider. You know, they're working on it. They're just not done yet.
It's a pain while they're working on it.
Right.
But when it's done, it'll be beautiful.
Right.
Yeah. So like I say, I took sort of the long way because Thursday night when I came in to do the show, I trudged to the parking lot. I took one look at that today
because
they got so much more dug up and it's like.
Yeah, the sidewalks are gone.
Everything's gone.
Yeah.
It's up and down. Now it's been raining and everything else. Now I don't want to trudge through the mud. So I went around the back way, took a walk. Could have, yeah.
There's a construction trailer around the other side, too.
That's all right. The trike will go around there.
Yeah.
No problem.
I'll have to see next week what I can do because, you know, I have the cane. I'm
Yeah, but
I got that teeny little car, so...
You got a Cracker Jack box there.
I do.
And if the trike can make it, your little car can make it.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's going to be great when they're done, and I'm very looking forward to it.
Yep. It's a needed improvement. And it's great that they're doing it. So.
Yep.
Going back to our Facebook caller, I found a section on in the Facebook help about uninstalling the Facebook video calling plugin.
Oh, sure.
So uninstall that plugin, and then the next time you go back to the Facebook video call, it will probably have you reinstall it, which will hopefully fix your problem. So I've got that link posted as well. Apparently, it's just another app listed in programs and features, and you can uninstall it as a normal application uninstall.
Nice, and that's posted on our webpage. Yep. So you can.
Rob's listening.
What did he say now? Oh, Robert.
We got him to listen.
He's listening. Apparently, he wasn't listening the first hour, but he's listening the second hour, and that's nice. And now he's wondering what he missed the first hour. And now he's paranoid.
I love keeping him on the edge. I live for that.
Excuse me. I beg your pardon. All right, let's read another news story. I don't like that news story. Let's find a better news story. I don't like that news story. I don't like any of the news. It hasn't been good for Apple these last few weeks. Apple appears to be experiencing a learning moment that many of its Android arch rivals, including Samsung, have already painfully experienced. You can lead customers to smartwatches, but you can't make them buy. Indeed, the Apple Watch is a blockbuster, but only in smartwatch terms. Last year, all Android OEMs combined only summed up to roughly 720,000 sales of Android Wear smartwatches. When the Apple Watch went on sale on an April 10 via pre-order, it quickly racked up 1.5 million orders in a week, doubling Android's entire sales total for the last year. But it's been a bumpy ride. From that point, until mid-June, the Apple Watch was not generally available for order. Apple blamed supply issues, complaining the supply struggles were sinking sales volume. But the supply reportedly smoothing out, Apple is running out of excuses. Apple Watches are available. Apple fans just don't seem to want them. That's the take-home from a new market research report from Slice Intelligence, a firm that tracks purchasing decisions based on a proven methodology. To track sales, Slice Intelligence examines a slice of the market, 2 million consumer subscribers who have consented to have their email receipts screened. According to Slice's numbers, during the strong start, Apple was selling about 200,000 Apple Watches per day, which is a very impressive mark. But currently, it's only selling about 20,000 on a good day, between 4 and 10,000 on a not-so-good day. Extrapolating for a month of sales, assuming 50% good days, that equates to pre-holiday monthly sales of about 405,000 Apple Watches a month. Again, this is very impressive by Android Wear standards, but it's nothing short of an epic fail by the unrealistic expectations set by analysts who predicted tens of millions of sales in the development of a third tier to the iPhone plus iPad mobile legion. So far, it's looking nowhere near as many customers want a smartwatch as want a tablet or smartphone. Slice also notes that the more purpose-built Fitbit sports bands line is outselling the Apple Watch despite having a mere fraction of the marketing muscle behind it. Smartwatch claims that Apple has sold only about 2,000 units of the Gold Watch Edition, which starts at $10,000. While likely up to two-thirds of that total of pure profit, it's a fair question to ask if the $13 million or so in profits is worth it for all the jokes, negative publicity, and criticism the overpriced model brought. Either way, it's clear that if the public is lukewarm on the prospect of plain old Apple Watch, it's even more apathetic on the prospect of paying $10,000 for a golden case smartwatch masquerading as a nouveau luxury brand. So do you own a smartwatch? Why? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. While you do that, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, you, 40 minutes after the hour, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enrich.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 45 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Don't forget to check out our YouTube live stream. Subscribe to it so that you can find it much easier next time. It's probably the best thing to do. We do broadcast live during the show, which we're doing right now. It's very exciting. For certain select values of exciting, I guess. And that's it for that. And here's another Apple story. Don't say I don't do any Apple stories. I do a lot of Apple stories.
The watch story you did.
Yeah.
One of the things they announced at WWDC is the new watchOS. And the big thing there for developers is they'll be able to make native apps on the watch. Right now, when you run an app on your watch, it actually is running on your phone and sending the data to your watch. So
right.
It's really slow and really frustrating. As soon as they get native apps on the watch, it's going to be a big thing for watch users.
Just an one there. Nick's, he said to send him the YouTube link and we'll add it to our website. Rob did.
Oh, nice. All right. Yeah, we can do that. We can absolutely do that. Speaking of watches, I was so tempted. I think it was yesterday on Woot. If you don't know about Woot.com, I apologize for actually telling you about it. It's a time sink and a money sink like nobody's business. Every day, it's one deal, one day for each of the categories. When the thing they're selling is gone, it's gone, and it's never coming back. A couple of days ago, it was Google Android watches for ridiculously cheap, and I came so close to buying one. But again, what am I going to do with it?
Yeah, I don't like wearing watches.
I don't wear a watch. I don't wear any jewelry at all.
I wear this one band.
Yep.
That was given to me decades ago, and it's about the only jewelry I like.
But we all used to wear watches.
I used to carry a pocket watch. Yep. I haven't worn a watch since high school.
You've always been weird.
I've always been weird, and I absolutely
unique.
Admit that.
No, not weird.
Yes, unique. Now, if I could get a smart pocket watch, I actually
now might, that
might be something I'd own just to own it.
Now, that I would like. I do miss. I did have a pocket watch for the longest time, and I did like that.
But again, that's almost no different from a smartphone. You still got to take it out of your pocket to look at it. You know,
that's the only thing I use now is smartphone. You know, I sit there and check the time with that.
Yep. And when I get in the car, I plug it in to the. Mine has the wireless charging business, so I can plug it. You know, I just plug it into the little thing, and it charges up, and I can make calls and do everything.
I found the charger that comes with the unit. That plugs into the car. Boy, does that charge that fast?
Yes, it does.
Whoa. Because I couldn't believe it. I was going like from here to Palmyra, and it was down to, I want to say, 60%. By the time I get out there, it's at 97%.
Yep.
Dang.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was... Whew.
And the wireless charger that I have one for home. I have one for the car. They charge pretty fast too, but I have actually never, ever since I got this phone ever plugged it into the wall anywhere. It's always been from the day I got it. It was wireless charging. Oh, so I've never even opened the little thing at the bottom.
Really?
Yeah. And it works great, and it's very fast and easy. And I, you know, I can grab my phone and go, and I never have to worry about is it plugged in somewhere, or whatever. Mm-hmm. I plug it in at the bedside for, you know, when my daughter's out of town, so she calls in the middle of the night. We're right there, and it's very, very nice. I think wireless charging is the wave of the future. I think it's where it's going to go. I think everything is going to be wireless charging. They also now have...
There's two competing standards that aren't compatible with each other.
Right.
Just like
QI
everything else.
QI and whatever the other one is. Mine is QI, so yeah.
Qi? But,
yeah, it's pronounced Qi. QI is a television show, which is, by the way, excellent.
And they're teasing us. There were like two or three episodes on BBC America, and then they disappeared.
It's all over YouTube.
I know, but that's illegal. I tried to not.
It seems to be the, isn't it the QI channel? Maybe not. Maybe it isn't. Yeah.
One thing I had to clarify for folks. We just had.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I said I do. And I control the board. That's how it works.
Okay. That argument always wins.
Yeah. No, we had a person, pose that question very early in the show off the net. And just so he knows, and I did respond back to him and anybody else, if they text us, I do not type the answer to the question back.
Right.
You've got to listen. If you miss our answer, when we give it, you could always go back to the podcast. I'm not good. I'm sorry. I'm too busy
or
here.
The YouTube channel.
Or the YouTube channel. But I don't have the time to sit there and answer, put our answer to the question back in this text to go back to it. Just redo the show, and you'll hear our answer. We did respond to your question. I do put it up there, but I just can't take the time.
You're running the board. You're answering questions. You're getting the phones. You don't have time to type stuff in it either.
No, I don't.
And it's way over there. We can't even get to it. Mm-hmm. So it's just not going to happen, and I get that. And just so folks know,
I mean, it's right up there when, I'm trying to answer the phone.
Yeah, you whisper so that we don't hear it on the air.
Yeah, and they hear me.
They shouldn't whisper back.
Yeah, when you folks, and I've said this before, when you folks call in, I have to whisper. I'm literally maybe 3 feet away from Nick and Steve, and they're trying to continue on the show, so it just runs smoothly, and I have to whisper. You don't have to. That's okay. You can scream.
It's like the old, Three Stooges line from Men in White. Why are we whispering? I don't know about you, but I have laryngitis. I beg your pardon. And earlier we were talking about thumb drives, and that led us to backup. So let me just remind everybody, backup regularly, backup often, backup all the time. It's not, are you not going to get that? Okay. We got 2 minutes left. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. There's folks got to learn to call earlier, call often.
Yeah. I'm sorry. When we just don't have time, we don't have time. Yeah, however, I will say that Microsoft has released the next generation of its Office software suite for the Apple MacBook and iMac users. It's called Office 2016 for the Mac. It's the first big update in 5 years. Till now, Mac users have had to make do with Office for Mac 2011. The new version brings major updates to Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, which include big design changes, optimization for the high-resolution Retina display that some MacBook variants have, a bunch of new features, great focus on document collaboration, as well as cloud storage integration. And that is, of course, the big thing here. The new Office 2016 for Mac is available to download now, but it isn't free. Office 2016 for Mac is currently part of the subscription-based Office 365 service, which is the same for all platforms, Windows, Macs, Androids, and iOS. Two options available at the moment. Office 365 Home, which is $10 a month, which allows users to run the Office suite on up to 5 PCs or Macs and 5 phones and tablets. The lesser-priced Office 365 Personal, which is only $7 a month, allows Office use on 1 PC or Mac, 1 phone, and 1 tablet. However, if you are willing to wait, Office 2016 for Mac will become available as a standalone one-time purchase from September. Microsoft has not yet announced the price for that, but it will make more sense for someone who doesn't want to get into the whole subscription pattern. Although, that's clearly the way Apple is going. They've said Windows 10 will be free for everybody.
Microsoft
has said that it will be free for everybody. But the next version after that, which will simply be called Windows, will be a subscription-based model. Get over it. It's coming. Everything is going to be subscription-based.
Yep.
$10 a month for Office, $20 a month for... we don't know what the price is going to be for Windows, but you get what I'm talking about. That's the way that sort of thing is going to go. All right. It sounds to me like we are done with the show. I want to apologize to the people to whom we did not get. Really, we can't take a call with 1 minute left to go in the show. You need to call earlier. That's it for this week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow. He's got some wonderful pieces lined up for this week. And we'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites, and it's right here on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you next week, everybody. Thanks for listening.